Hi, you're listening to the Chasing Tone podcast. I'm Travis.
I'm Brian.
And today, Max is joining us remotely from South Bend, Indiana. How's it going, Max?
Good, guys. Remotely. It sounds like I'm something important.
That's because you are, and we couldn't do the show without you. So,
yeah, I can't say that word on the radio.
What'd you say?
I can't say that on the radio.
So, you guys have known, for the last few episodes, we've kind of been reaching out and seeing what you guys want to hear and talk about or hear our points of view on. So these are just a few that we've got, and we appreciate all the emails. Please keep emailing podcast@wamplerpedals.com. The first one is something we've actually touched on before. It was our second episode, which we understand a lot of people didn't start listening until recently. So pedal order. So let's touch on that just very briefly.
Well, in a nutshell, like you said, if you want to hear it in a lot more detail, go back to episode 2. But in a nutshell, I usually run like compressor first. I'll run my overdrives and distortions. If I'm using fuzz, I'll run fuzz in there as well. And then like any chorus or anything like that, delay, then reverb. If I'm using phase, I put that before dirt. If I'm using...
Let me interrupt there. Do you consider a univibe style pedal a phase or a chorus?
I would call that more like a phase.
Okay, me too. Yeah. I put that before dirt.
I'd put a wah before dirt. Okay. I'd put... if I had the choice, like in unlimited cables and all that sort of thing, I probably would put the delay and reverb actually in an effects loop, especially if my amp is dirty at all.
I'm way too lazy to do that.
Well, it's kind of a pain in the butt. And it, you know...
So I know, Max, you use your, I think the only modulation pedal you have is a Vibe, and you use it before dirt, right?
Yeah, I do use my, I have the Voodoo Labs Micro Vibe. I use it before dirt, but I also use my delay at the very end.
Yeah, I definitely use mine. I like a reverb through the effects loop, but for some reason I think delay just kind of gets the life sucked out of it a little bit through the effects loop.
It probably depends on the loop.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe. Or the delay.
Yeah, it's your delay.
Well, like I said, it's crap.
It's the loop.
Crap.
It's the loop.
No, I'm kidding. I'm teasing.
So one more thing that I don't think we actually touched on episode 2, so I'll kind of bring it up now. I'm having a hard time with this on my board. Right now I have a volume pedal because I recently started to do, you know, rock gig and a country gig, and I find myself playing all kinds of genres of music. I noticed for like the rock gig, I really wish that my volume pedal was after my dirt. And then for like the country stuff, I'm okay with having it before all my dirt. Where do you run yours if you were to run one?
This is a personal preference.
Of course.
I would put mine after my dirt.
Okay.
And that's just because like if I want to control my dirt, I usually use my volume control on my guitar.
So. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. So, yeah. And for you guys listening, you know, you guys probably know this, but if you don't, I'll kind of break it down just very, very briefly. What's happening is whenever it's before your dirt or in the beginning of your chain, it's acting a lot like your guitar's volume. So as you roll down your volume with your pedal, it's actually decreasing gain. But if you have it after your dirt, then it's just decreasing the volume, not your gain.
Right. It's very similar to, like, for example, a tube amp and even some of our pedals. The gain control on it actually is a volume control at the beginning.
Right.
That's just, it's not allowing as much signal in there, not that, which means it doesn't get clipped as much, which means it's, you know, less gain.
Right.
So that's really the way that most tube amps work as well. So, so by that nature, it's just going to work that way. If you control volume before any sort of dirt or clipping technically, then it's going to get cleaner and not necessarily less volume necessarily.
Right.
So especially if it's a higher gain pedal, you probably won't lose a lot of volume, but you'll just lose a lot of that gain.
Right.
With fuzz, though, it depends on the fuzz.
I was about to say, that's its own animal.
It's so all over the place. Yeah, sometimes on a fuzz, you want, like, for example, I love the sound of, like, a good fuzz face with the volume backed off and just using that as, like, an overdrive.
A lot of people don't realize that some of, like, Hendrix's cleaner tones was a fuzz face on with, like, I think Little Wing. I mean, that... I don't know for sure. That could just be, you know, the recording styles and everything back then. But I can get a very similar tone with a Strat into a Marshall with a fuzz face on, and then my guitar volume backed way off.
Well, I read it on the internet once, so I know it's true.
Didn't Abraham Lincoln say, believe only 80% of what you see, read on the internet?
I think so. It was either him or George Washington.
I think Lincoln said it first, then Washington said it.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Dolly Madison.
So have you ever run a volume pedal, Max? I don't know that you have.
I haven't. It's always something I wanted to try, but I've actually never used one, so I couldn't give anybody any insight on how to run them.
Hey, appreciate your honesty, man. Okay.
Yeah, I'd have to be honest there, yeah.
So, you know, that was a guy named Jason and another guy named Mike, and that requested or gave us that suggestion, I guess. So
that means two free t-shirts going out.
Okay. Next free t-shirt goes to Rick. Man, this was a funny one. You know, this was one that stood out. He said, how do you guys convince your wives to let you buy this gear and to do all these things musically? I think for the three of us, the easiest answer is to say it's work related.
I was gonna say that my first go-to is start a business that has something to do with music, and then it's always a business expense.
Yeah.
If you're an artist, it's a business.
It's those four words. It's a write-off.
Exactly.
But Max, I know right now is real hard. The reason, and I hope you don't mind me saying, and if not, I guess too bad because I'm gonna say it anyway. But the reason Max is actually in South Bend right now is He's getting married in a little more than a month, right? About two months.
60 something days.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, not too far off. And he's finalizing some wedding plans. So this is the fun one, though. This is the cake eating day, right?
Yeah. This is where I'm a champion at. I mean, there's like natural born athletes, and there's guys that, you know, they're super smart. I am an awesome cake eater. Seriously, I could whoop anybody in it. Bring it on.
Oh, no. Somebody's going to challenge you. But the thing is if they pay for the cake, it's okay.
Exactly.
But anyways, so with you, I bet you're right now with finances being a little tight with the wedding and, you know, the impending doom of marriage. I mean, the holy matrimony of marriage. No, actually,
that's not funny.
I can't complain, man. I've been married over a decade, so that's awesome. But anyways, when's the last time you bought something?
I bought something, the Dallas Hampshire. I bought a used Stephen Kenner Roadster.
That's right. Did you have to call and ask first, or did you just do it?
I just did it. Actually, I think I called her afterwards. She's like, yeah, that's fine.
Wow. Yeah, that girl of yours is a good girl, man.
Yeah, and I know there's like advice out there you want to give people, but I'm not going to give anybody any of my advice, because if my future wife knows what I would tell her to get free gear, then I want to get any more free gear. I'm not telling anybody any of my secrets.
It's trade secret.
Speaking of trading, or trade, that's how I justify a lot of things to my wife is, like, for instance, I just bought that Electro-Harmonix B9 organ machine. I just bought that. And she was like, Travis, you work for a guitar pedal company. Can't you just have Brian build you one or something so you don't have to buy it? I said, first off, it doesn't work that way. Number two, I don't want to wait, you know? So I basically sold another pedal and an old pedal board that I had, you know, or traded those for the pedal. So that's kind of one way I convinced my wife, you know, you know, and another thing is I'm not a big drinker. I don't go out and do a lot of things. I don't spend a lot of money on stupid stuff. So every now and again, I can kind of justify it to her that way. So yours is kind of the business, though. Yeah.
Yeah. I know, like, when I was first getting started, there would be a marriage or two ago whenever I was first getting started. I actually would have I had a credit card. There was, you know, like $300 limit or something. There was low limit. I'm like, I'll just put it on this credit card and nobody will ever know.
Yeah.
I'll pay the bill when it comes due.
Right.
I found out that doesn't work. Nope. Busted.
Yeah, that's... So, You know, those are. I thought that was a pretty funny one. You know, it's kind of on the lighter side.
Logan had.
Logan, the guy that's filming us and does editing and answers all your newsletter replies. He does kind of a jack of all trades around here. What was yours?
At the guitar shop I work at on weekends.
Okay.
We actually give people two receipts. One is.
Hold on, wait. I gotta say this into the mic. I gotta say this so they can to make sure they can hear you. So he says, at the guitar shop that I work at on the weekends, Frank's Guitars, right? Great shop. Yeah, cool.
Franklin, right?
Frank's Guitars in Franklin, Indiana. Okay. But so anyways, he says, a guitar shop I work at on the weekend, we actually give customers two different receipts.
One is an actual cost receipt, and one is the perceived cost.
So one's the actual cost on one receipt, and the other one is a perceived cost.
Do you at least call it a gift receipt or something like that?
We call it whatever they want.
Great.
That's ingenious. Another reason to shop there, man. Oh.
The only thing to be better is if they change, like, the, instead of saying Frank's Guitar Shop at the top, see, like, Max's Burger Joint or something. Like, why'd you spend $150 at Burger King? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. So you're saying, like, when you check your bank card, it has an alias name. I gotcha.
Like a Burger Joint or something obscure. I don't know. I was really hungry.
Well, like a gas station.
How did you spend $1,200 on a burger?
Really good.
Oh, that's great. Love that, Logan. That is fantastic, man. Okay, this one's a good one too. Oh, and that was Rick, by the way, that came up with that question.
That's probably illegal.
Yeah, who cares? Yeah,
but it'll get you out of trouble.
It's not illegal if they give you an actual receipt, is it?
Well, that's true.
Yeah, if they give you the actual receipt, yep. It's not illegal.
I'm not a lawyer.
That's guitars.
Yeah, we'll bleep out the guitar. Yeah,
that's true.
Okay. That was Rick, by the way, that came up with the convincing wives or spouses or whatever. And you could tell he was a listener because he even mentioned to Max, he was like, you know, your guys' wife and Max's fiance, you know. So that was cool, man. The next one is a guy named Gordon. I liked this one. He said, what is your emergency setup? You know, if have you ever had anything break in the middle of a gig or even like with us, there's been... Well, a demo board went down one time. Yep. So, in emergency setups, what is the weirdest one you've ever had to do?
I know whenever I was gigging a lot, mm-hmm. I had like a little V-amp, Behringer V-amp I had sometimes. Mm-hmm. I had little red pods that I would throw in, you know, with my stuff just in case. And then as I got more and more finicky, like I said, before I started building pedals, I was like taking 3 or 4 amps to gigs, like the VFW. So I'd have like a twin.
That is so
and
you, man.
Like a Marshall. And then the other guys in the band were like, this has got to stop. There's nowhere for me to set up, Ryan. And I'm like, dude, I've got to have all these tones. I can't play for 4 hours on one guitar amp. That's just crazy.
Okay. Now you're hiding behind that a little bit. So you go ahead and then I'm going to call you on your bull crap. On that, but go ahead, keep going.
Okay, so I forgot where I was going with that. So what I do now is I'll take an amp, and just in case, mm-hmm. I'll take an extra head.
There we go. So. Yep, that's what I'm talking about. Because I know you, may have a slight problem with OCD.
Slightly.
Slight.
Slightly, just a little bit.
Yeah, as he's rearranging his pop filter on his mic. But so I was saying something the other day about how I had a couple gigs and, you know, I can't remember what I said. It was the amp that I've been tinkering around with, the one that's, you know, not very stable because it's all hand-wired by a guy that doesn't really know what he's doing. So
sorry.
No, not that amp, the one... That's my Blues Junior. Yeah. And you know what you're doing. You were just in a hurry. But
let's blame it on Fender. It's easier.
But I said something, you're like, so wait a minute. You don't you don't bring a backup amp? And like, that was something that was so foreign to you. So I know when you're going to gig, you have both port cities and probably your hand-wired Vox in the trunk, and then you probably have something like some type of interface just in case, you know?
Close. I mean, now when I play out, I usually, it's not that often, right? So I take a port city with me always, mm-hmm. just a head. Then I have a backup Shaw head.
Okay.
And it's hand-wired too. I mean, that thing's like, been down flights of stairs and still it's you can't break it. It's impossible. So I mean that thing is, it's built like a rock. Both of them have been thrown around and, you know,
yeah,
been to a million shows and yeah. So I have two amps that I know are not going to break just in case. Two guitars usually, because if I break a string, the last thing I want to do is string up a guitar between sets.
Yeah, I do bring two guitars, so, always two. Yeah.
I always bring extra pedals because I know me. I will, like, after the first set, I'll be like, I'm sick of these overdrives. I'm going to put something else on. So I'll rearrange my board every set.
Yeah.
So that's why everyone's like, what's on your board? I'm like, it changes set by set. What's on my pedal board?
Mine is always consistent. It's the only reason mine changed earlier or recently is because the new prototype, mm-hmm. you know, the new release, I got that in and I love that pedal. So I put it on there, but I always keep, it used to be a Paisley drive that I'd always keep in my gig bag in case something went down, mm-hmm. you know. But now I have a Love Pedal Eternity in there because the new prototype kicked that off my board. Which, I mean, that's all personal preference. I'm not trying to be a suck up or anything, but you know, you included me on the design process mm-hmm. of that, so it was one of those things that was like, I like the way it sounds because I had input on it, you know. But back to the emergency setup thing, this one's terrible. I was doing a gig in Lafayette, Indiana, and it's a small club. I had to bring my own small PA and my own rig, and so I get there and I'm loading everything in, and I'm like, man, where's my pedal board? No clue. I forgot my pedal board. And guess what was in my pedal board? All my cables. I have a guitar and an amp. Okay, and there's one dude in the audience. It's like, I play guitar, and I'm like, oh, thank God. He's like, I just live a block down the road. I'll go get you a cable. So he got me a 4-foot lime green fluorescent guitar cable, 4 feet from my amp, Brian. It was so, and I'm playing single coils, and the amp, don't get me wrong, it's a great amp. It's a Rivera 5512, but I hate the gain channel on that particular amp. Mm-hmm. So, and then with single coils, it's like I just couldn't fake it. So right. Basically, I just cranked the amp up to where it was uncomfortably loud and then rolled down on my volume just to try to get a little bit of dirt. But then, all right, if that's not bad enough, then guess what happens? A power tube goes out.
Of course.
Of course it does. So, which is cool because it gave me a little bit more gain, but it just, you know, but it just, it sounded so bad that what I did was I went direct into a Mackie 808 powered mixer with onboard reverb, mm-hmm. no dirt, no nothing. That was a long night for anyone involved.
My gosh. Yeah. I'm sure I've been there too, where you got to do something. You got to plug direct in the board. I know I have. I've probably been seems like, gosh, I was playing in a praise and worship band years ago. I think I had to do that at one of those.
Yeah.
I want to say gig, but
I know what you mean. Yeah.
You know, one of those mornings I had to plug direct in, and they're just like, let's just get through this. You know, you're like, all right, well, at the board, you know, take some serious highs off that, you know, maybe crank some mids a little bit.
And the sad thing is it sounds exactly how you think it would. And I was playing this guitar. It's a Don Gross Retro Classic. I will be buried with this guitar. It's my guitar, and it's, you know, it's a pretty pricey guitar. Don't get me wrong. But even the guitar couldn't save it that right. night. It was just rough. Max, have you had anything like that, emergency setups?
Well, yeah, I always carry a few extra pedals just because I've had pedals in the past crap out. My funniest story, though, with gear giving out was actually you, man. Travis, one time, he actually blew up his Rivera, surprise.
That Rivera has gone down on me so many times.
Yeah, he's blown it up probably half a dozen times. And so he asked me, he says, hey, Max, can I borrow your amp for the gig?
It was a Bogner, right?
It was a Bogner. I was like, yeah, sure, no problem, man. So he blows up my amp.
Same gig.
No. Yeah, so he blew up his amp, and he blew up my amp, and then luckily the club had an extra amp under the stage for like jams and that sort of thing. So he'd pull it out, and it was like, one, two, and then he'd go back into it.
Yeah, so yeah, like, you actually blew the amp out.
My backup amp is for Travis, so he blows up.
And if I remember correctly, that backup amp had Alnico speakers in it, and I hate Alnico speakers. It ruined my whole life.
No, evidently... You hit it enough to blow it up.
not your amp. Your amp didn't have Alnico's. The 30.
Oh, no, no. I had a vintage 30, I think.
Yeah, yeah. No, I liked that amp till I blew it up.
I liked that amp, too.
hey, but I traded you a pedal for the repair cost, remember? Because you were like, yeah, it's going to cost about $150 to get it fixed. I was like, hey, yeah. I got this Love Pedal Amp 11 you like. So we swapped it.
Yeah, true story.
Yeah, oh, that's funny. Okay, so thank you, Gordon, for that, the emergency setups. Here's one that's kind of a loaded question. I'm putting you kind of on the spot, Brian. So I guess skate lightly on the thin ice. Cliff, I've been emailing this guy back and forth. I keep telling him we're going to talk about this, and we never get around to it. Sure. So, Cliff, I'm so sorry, but here it is, man. He says, why? Okay. I'm going to get a little geeky, not too geeky, but, mm-hmm. you know, there's a couple different, really what, kind of two different styles of compressor mm-hmm. in a pedal form, not rack.
More
I mean,
or less.
The main ones. Yeah. Yeah, just to kind of make it, you know, simplify it. Mm-hmm. So the most popular, one could argue, is the Dynacomp style, the Ross, mm-hmm. right?
VCA style, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, VCA style. So he wants to know that if it's based off a similar circuit, there's really not a whole lot you can do to vary that circuit, right?
No, there's quite a bit you can do.
Oh, I mean, is there? Okay.
Yeah, in fact, Jake, who was one of our engineers working mm-hmm. for us this summer from Purdue, he and I were, for the past couple weeks, have been like going through a ton of different compressor designs. Okay. And even using like the same, let's say we're using the same chip.
All right.
And just using just different ways of creating compression with that chip. And seeing what it sounds like and seeing how it reacts.
Okay.
Doing it with bass, doing it with the guitar. So, okay. I mean, if you just take that chip, you can do several different things. And most people in the DIY world will say, oh, well, that's a 3080 Dynacomp.
Oh, so, okay. Gotcha. So it's more like it's calling a soda a Coke.
It's I think
there's different sodas, but it's all a Coke.
See, the engineer Jake was explaining one's like a feed forward, one's like a feedback design. I'm like, yeah. Here's what I hear.
Yeah, this is what it sounds like.
Yeah, so he like explained it in a lot of detail, like exactly what was going mm-hmm. on in every part of the circuit down okay. to the volt. And after like my yeah. eyes glazed over, I said. Yeah. Well, here's what I think it sounds like.
Right.
You know, here's what I'm hearing and here's what I'm feeling. There's not enough compression in this design. This one doesn't have enough, what I call it, doesn't have enough sponge. Mm-hmm. And I said, and we were talking about the words guitar players use.
Yeah.
And he looked at me like I had three horns on my head. And he's like, what the hell is sponge?
Yeah.
What does sponge
I
sound
know,
like?
I
like,
know immediately.
I'm like, it's this. I don't, it's, yeah. It's sponge.
Yeah.
It's, I said, give. He's like,
that's a good word for it. I mean, but to Max and I, we hear sponge, we're like, oh yeah, sponge or squeeze.
Yeah.
You know?
But I mean, to keep in mind this, I mean, he's
engineer minded.
Yeah. He's a bass player, but he is an engineer. Mm-hmm. So he's approaching this from a very mathematical standpoint, which is why I'm sitting there next to him. I'm like, okay, here's what I want to do here. You know what I mean? So we're kind of bouncing things off each other. So I have like a really highly intellectual person. And then you have me that kind of like dumbs everything down to the fifth grade level. It's like, all right, well, here's basically what's going on if I was explaining it to someone, you know?
Right.
So,
okay, so to mm-hmm. kind of start to interject there, but get into kind of the but, point.
Yeah, I tend to get off the top.
No, that's yeah. fine. It's good info. But he wants to know, okay, well, his overall thing, I'll get there. My next question that's kind of based off of his mm-hmm. is there enough going on and each of those circuits that are based off that Dynacomp to justify a price difference of $250 from pedal to pedal. Okay.
Let me phrase it this way. Let's say I have a Dynacomp,
mm-hmm.
you know, like from MXR,
mm-hmm.
and let's say I have a hand-wired, exactly the same circuit, Dynacomp circuit, right?
Okay.
And it's just, The only difference is someone else made a circuit board and soldered their own parts in it. Like a, maybe the, if build your own clone does anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they do. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's say we're comparing those two things.
Okay.
Yes, they can sound different. For one thing, part selection is huge.
Layout.
The circuit board is gigantic. Yeah. What you do with your power supplies and what type of caps and what size caps that you're filtering, all that power stuff. That's a big deal. Like, for example, most pedals, the way they filter their power, we do it a totally different way, which is just quieter and safer, for example.
Right.
So when you're building things at a big volume, so in other words, you're not just building like one to your brother and then another one to your cousin. You're like, all right, we have to get these pedals
100 done today.
Yeah, we got to get these to this music store and these to this music store. Mm-hmm. And whenever a guy buys one today, we want it to sound exactly like it's going to sound like if he buys one next year.
Right, or if a guy plays his buddies, it's a two-year-old pedal, he wants that sound, he can buy a new
one.
It sounds the same.
So one of the things, like a company like us, not that we have a straight-up Dynacomp clone, but one of the things that separates like the $50 pedal from like $200 pedal is that, like, for example, we'll go through and find the chips that are noisy or just don't sound good and trash them. So we throw a lot of stuff away that just doesn't meet our criteria.
Right.
And the same thing with like transistors and all that stuff. Anything that has a huge
tolerance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It still falls within the company's spec, but not our spec. So,
right. You mean the manufacturer of that part?
So, like, you know, you buy a transistor, it's comes
give
from,
or take 20% tolerance, but ours may only be 10. So, if it doesn't fall within that 10, then we pitch it.
Right. So,
gotcha.
So, I mean, and you'll see the same thing with pots. You'll see the same thing with all kinds of different stuff. So there's a lot that goes on to make sure that everything is exactly consistent and is as good as possible.
Right.
And the other side is, if you're building in America, it's expensive.
Right. And I'll kind of go a different route with that too. Yes, it is very expensive when you build in America, but if you're buying something handmade from another country and you live in America, for instance, like the Mad Professor stuff, a lot of people think that's very expensive. And while it is to us, it's not over there. It's because the strength of the dollar is different. So just because a Mad Professor pedal is expensive doesn't mean they're being jerks. It doesn't mean like they think their stuff is so much better than other people's. It's just that's what their stuff has to cost to be able to make the same amount of profit that we make.
Right. And we don't import anything. So I'm assuming it works the same way in America as it does other countries. I know, like, if we ship something to another country, they have to pay an import tax on that.
Yeah.
So, like, if you buy a pedal, if let's say you're in, I don't know, England, and you buy a pedal from any music company that has, like, free shipping.
Right.
What they're not telling you is that when you get that pedal and it says $200 on that bill, you're going to pay $60 of tax to your country.
Or duty is what they like to call it to make it sound nice.
So I'm assuming the same thing happens in America.
Yeah,
that,
I don't know.
I don't know either, but, I mean, if I was America, that's what I do.
Go America. So to me, it's like, because I get that. Some people be like, how come Mad Professor stuff so expensive? I'm like, it's really not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's expensive because it's great stuff. It's good quality stuff. But it's not like they're holding their nose up here saying our stuff's better than yours. You know, it's just that's what they have to do.
Right.
So, Cliff, man, great question there. Like I said, sorry it took me so long. So right there, there's quite a few t-shirts going out, right?
Man.
So
We better sell some pedals to make up for the t-shirts we're selling out.
Speaking of t-shirts, look at this one.
Huh?
That's pretty nice.
Get a shot of that, Logan.
What's his name? Sam
Sam Carum?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did this. He did it.
Oh, I'll text you a picture of it, Max. It's killer. But yeah, that's going to make you guys, I know you listeners just have to go on YouTube now just to see the t-shirt, don't you?
And your hair.
Why does my hair always come into this? I'm getting it cut.
It glistens in the sun, because the way the window is right there, it glistens in the sunlight.
Max, defend me.
I miss your hair.
see, Logan, did you see the, look at the camera screen.
Oh, Logan's showing me the screen from the camera, the monitor.
It glistens.
I need to sit where Max sits. How about right now? We have a t-shirt.
Well, sit in my spot.
We have a t-shirt and a hat in your spot right now, Max, that you can see on camera when you see this. But
I've been cutting to it every time he talks.
Logan said every time you talk, he's been cutting to that.
That's fantastic.
That's great.
Okay, well, guys, thank you so much. Can I make the same offer of the t-shirt?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, so yeah, if you guys want to get in on the free t-shirt thing, just send us a suggestion to podcast@wamplerpedals.com. And if we use your topic or your suggestion or anything like that on the show, we'll send you a free t-shirt. So go ahead and hit us up. And even, you know, even if we don't use it on the show, we'll get back to you with an answer or kind of our opinion on that, you know, so we appreciate the conversation. So thank you guys so much for listening. I'm Travis.
And Brian.
And
Max.
I'm trying to think of something, something witty, you know. We should play like, I don't know, something like On the Road Again or something for Max being on the road. In wedding land, right? So, okay, guys, thank you so much for listening. Until next week.